Happy New Year, friends, and welcome back after a short holiday break. Here we are, a brand new season of the Events Demystify podcast. I hope your 2024 is off to a fantastic start, filled with a lot of energy. Hopefully you got some time to rest and also some inspiration into the new year. As we embrace this new beginning, let's continue to innovate and elevate the world of events together. Today, we're jumping right back into the heart of innovation, exploring the cutting edge intersection of AI and B2B marketing with a very special returning guest. Get ready to uncover trends of AI in 2024 as it relates to marketing, events, and maybe some new surprising ways in which AI will shape our industry this year and beyond.
Welcome to Events Demystified Podcast, where we explore and demystify the world of in-person, virtual, hybrid event AV production and technology by sharing insightful tips, tricks, and tactics to make your events a success. This podcast is brought to you by Tree Fan Events, a woman-owned boutique event production agency. And your host is Anka Trifan, a technical event planner and producer with almost two decades of hands-on technical experience in event production.
So you might remember our guest from episode 48 back in 2021, and we were talking about virtual and hybrid event platforms at the time. Well, I am so thrilled to have him back. Joining us again is Ike Singhal, the visionary CEO of Social 27, a trailblazer in event tech and enterprise AI, a former Microsoft marketer and a serial entrepreneur. He brings years of expertise in worldwide events, learning, and marketing. Today, we're going to dive into AI in events, his new co-pilot for events, as well as B2B marketing, and the exciting potential of what this co-pilot means for the event industry and the way it might shape our industry in 2024. So, without further ado, let's bring Ike in and get us started. Welcome to the show. How are you today? I hope you had a great holiday season.
Oh, thank you so much, Anka. I had a great holiday season as well and a great start to the year. So, and thank you for getting me back on your podcast.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to kick off our conversation by, you know, discussing right off the bat the best uses of AI in events as you see it. And you are not short of ideas because I follow you on LinkedIn and you always drop some nugget of wisdom in one of the videos that you so often post. So from your experience, what tops the list right now?
I think when it comes to events and or, you know, events being part of marketing overall, the biggest thing that we have seen in 2023 was the usage of AI and all sorts of tools for content creation and to a certain extent, image creation as well. But I think it's going much beyond that. So the plan now is to have AI agents, which actually help all of us in multiple ways. I think the biggest thing that we are seeing across for marketing and events especially is the ability to introduce AI agents into the mix. And that is something that we've been working on for the past few months. We'd love to talk to you more about that. Yeah.
So define to me what this AI agent is or supposed to be for anyone that's sort of like, I don't understand this talk. Let's dump it down.
Sure. So I did a recent video about beehives and how AI and bees are similar. Okay. So the way it goes is, think of a beehive, right? So there is the queen bee and there's worker bees and there's all sorts of other bees who have their own tasks. So in the same way, the way we've been working in AI in most of 2023 is working with one agent, for example, ChatGPT, which would be essentially asking a question, it gives back us an answer. When ChatGPT does a search for us on the internet, it actually uses an agent, for example, a Bing agent in that particular case. So it goes and searches on the internet on behalf of ChatGPT, finds and analyzes and brings us the answer. So like, imagine that, but tenfold, 50-fold, you know, for that matter. So this is all the different bees from the beehive going out there and somebody's, you know, getting nectar, somebody else is figuring out the bee vax, you know, inside the beehive and so forth, right? So it's a consolidation of multiple bees slash digital agents, which will then, powered by AI, go and do tasks for us. I'll give you a small use case. So for example, you might be planning an event, you know, and so if you give your basic information about your corporate identity, your branding guide, maybe some objectives for your events, your ideal customer profile and so forth, just the basics of what we are planning for the event. The way this will work is that the AI agents will then go around and find you all sorts of information to pull your event plan together, your campaign together. So one agent might just be a copyright agent, will work on the copyright writing for you, your website, your socials and so forth. Another agent might be focused just on imagery and might be building images for you. The third agent might be focused on looking at, you know, building landing pages, you know, when you do your marketing campaigns and so forth, right? So there's agents who do all these different kinds of tasks, but you don't have to go into each agent into a template and go task by task. There is a series of workflow tasks that the agents will automatically do for you. You can obviously edit those, the results that come out of that, but it's multiple agents working at the same time to get you more speed and obviously, you know, just the ability to do more in that short period of time.
So basically those agents would be a very specialized version of, say, the ChatGPT overall version that is trained on a large data set, but those agents are very specifically focusing on individual tasks. So they're more like dialed in into what you're looking for, basically.
Absolutely. And they are, again, tuned on those particular tasks. So if there's an agent that is tuned on just image creation, like that's their specialty, right? So they'll be really, really good at that. If an agent is tuned on venue options for you, they will be really, really trained on all sorts of venue possibilities, right? So it's highly trained little LLMs or little agents that go around running around for you and do those tasks for you.
I love that. I was actually just dabbling into this a little bit more because I realized like I have all this AV knowledge, like tribal knowledge. I'm like, I should create my own ChatGPT AV bot that is just like focus on that alone, because there's a lot of formulas, a lot of like math, a lot of like science that goes with that people don't necessarily are aware of, because when they think AV, they think something that just works, and unless it doesn't, because that's when the problems comes, right? That's when you get the stare to the back of the room. It's like, what is wrong? What's not working, right?
Absolutely.
So I like that. I like that thought. Now, that's obviously a lot of work on your part to be able to specifically train those agents to do those, you know, specialized, to provide that specialized output, right? Because it requires that input that will generate a response that's relevant. So I'm seeing AI now, not just, you know, a tool anymore. It's almost like this transformative force in our event industry. And it's quite exciting because I feel like the future for those of us that do integrate, you know, AI into event planning, event marketing, event management, and event production even. I just had an episode on the AV AI fiesta and ways in which, you know, you can incorporate it into AV production, as much as, you know, AV is still a kind of like, you know, still do things the old ways, you know, the same ways, because it worked and why change it? I think there's a lot of benefit to innovation, and I want to learn more about those capabilities that you see in beyond, as you mentioned, beyond content development. We focused a lot on content, Gen AI content development in 2023. So for B2B marketing, taking it into, you know, the marketing space, what value does AI bring to this new space?
Certainly, Anka. So I think the biggest goal for any B2B campaign, events, again, being part of B2B marketing for that matter, is to get the best leads possible and or to do the best matchmaking of buyers and sellers, or, you know, nurturing those communities. Those are the two or three most important objectives for any kind of a B2B team out there, right? So content development, yes, a great start. Write me a blog post, write me a press release and so forth. Now, the next part is, okay, now you've got this content. How can you mobilize it now, right? So we have a certain system with which we are able to create infinite number of landing pages, because the biggest issue always with landing pages is, you know, I use this term sometimes, it's kind of like a hospital gown, one size fits none, you know? So like the landing page, you know, it's kind of like, okay, it might talk to you a little bit, but not really, you know? So the point is like, how do you make the landing page talk to you? So for example, if you are a healthcare you know, industry, a VP level person working in a big hospital network on the East Coast of the US. But that's a lot of information that is available in many cases on the internet, LinkedIn, and so forth. You know, so the ability to actually have them, for example, sign in with their LinkedIn and be able to see a landing page is very particular just for them. So we'll talk about AI in healthcare, focused on, you know, certain case studies that have been proven, you know, and the use cases that are available. And then, hey, by the way, here is someone, an award-winning solution. Do you want to talk to them? Right. So like, it's very, very focused. So like bringing it away from just give me a blog post or a press release, taking to a personalization of content and experiences for your leads, right? So, and or your prospects. So I think that is one more use case, you know, which I think is one of the strongest use cases that I have seen and we have been working on. The other one I would say for an event perspective is, again, you put in your basic information, you know, for your event, you know, your objectives and so forth. It turns out an event website for you. It makes your landing pages for you, your socials for you. And once the event has started, it also starts analyzing and collecting all of that data, those intent signals that you're getting from all that, you know, event, you know, activities that are going on. And in real time, starts telling you who are the best people for you to meet. So the networking aspect, right? So an AI agent that helps you do that. And you can keep on changing your criteria and be like, okay, is there anybody here who's from the healthcare industry? Is that a decision maker level and is open to having a conversation? You know, sure, here's like 5 matches for that. You know, so it's really helps you personalizing your experience at the event. But then on the other side, there might be someone who's not at the event. So imagine an event being done by a big corporation like a Microsoft, and they have people, you know, who are participating in an event. But then, you know, they find that they have some hot accounts who are at the event doing certain activities, are looking for support in certain areas. So it might even ping a person, a salesperson, a biz dev person, might not be at the event through their Microsoft Teams and be like, hey, here's a hot lead / a person who needs help around these questions. And here's the activities that they've been up to at the event. So really high on AI in healthcare, primarily focused on, you know, let's just say imagery, you know, or, you know, it could be anything in particular, right? So giving them the relevant information so that they come prepared for that conversation, right? So it's, again, content development, mobilizing that content in these super uber personalized landing pages, and then taking the data from those landing page interactions and then feeding it into your CRM and to your salespeople for a relevant conversation. So again, those are some of those ways that we can really mobilize B2B marketing with the help of AI.
I love that. I mean, definitely personalization truly is at the heart of memorable event experiences as we've learned so far. Mm-hmm. But it's also fascinating to see AI's continuously expanding and different applications that it can be used in practical ways. It's almost like there's still so much untapped potential. So with this advancement and untapped possibilities that still lie, you know, within the realm of what this future might bring, I'd love to hear, you know, some of the hidden gems that maybe we haven't yet considered. So in your opinion, what is the gold but most underutilized technology in event tech right now?
So Anka, there's two parts to this. I'll answer in two parts, right? So let me go one step back to something you were mentioning earlier about being able to create your own GPT for AV, right? So surely ChatGPT does give out that option with GPTs. There's another tool called Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I. So what it does is, again, now this goes back to the hidden gold that we have, right?
Right.
So you have hidden gold with your AV Pro knowledge. There are events that are very specific to certain industries. There are association events and so forth. The hidden gold there is their knowledge base, right? So creating a custom GPT just for your event, which taps into the knowledge base of, you know, that you already have, you know, so it's nothing you have to recreate. The GPTs that are available from OpenAI, those GPTs are at this stage a bit restricted in terms of the amount of documents that you can put in there. It has to be text documents and so forth, you know, versus programs like Delphi, which again saw that massive surge because of the GPTs. They're like, oh my God, this is great. People love this stuff. So they created a similar custom GPT builder. But what you can do there is you can actually attach your socials to it. So for example, you are very active on LinkedIn. So yes, you have, you know, your knowledge base, your documents about AV and stuff, but then you can also, you know, add your LinkedIn profile and your comments and posts and everything else to it, right? And so all of that actually can be then, you know, utilized to build your custom GPT, right? So there's Delphi again. And if you use the APIs for custom GPT, you know, builders, there is so much more you can do with that. So there is lots of tools that are available from OpenAI, now Delphi, and even Microsoft Azure, you know, which basically uses ChatGPT in many cases and or OpenAI in the background. But there are so many tools that are available right now which you can create these custom GPTs. So I think number one, I think the gold is in creating these custom GPTs, which are very specific to your community, to your audience, you know, and so they can get so much value, you know, out of, you know, that experience that they have. So the event owner can build a bunch of content, you know, it's just very specific by using this custom GPT, right? Much easier rather than going for a generic, you know, ChatGPT. Exactly. And then on the other side, the attendees can also use, you know, this custom GPT for support, you know, just for asking questions, just doing deep dives, you know, for that content and or preparing for the event and so forth, right? So it's kind of win-win on both sides. So I think that is the number one, which I think I would say when it comes to hidden gold, you know, that is very still untapped, but it's kind of new. Now, the other second thing I want to talk about is, I think something which we've all known forever, but I don't know why we don't practice it enough, is the value of pre-event, okay? Mm. And so we do registration, and then it's nothing, like it's like radio silence until you show up to the event. You know, so I understand with Apple, it worked for many years because it was the big unveil, you know, like, oh my God, what are they going to show today? And everything was hushed before that. But I don't think most people are doing Apple level products or Apple level events, that why do they just become so quiet?
Nor do they have Apple level branding to support that type of, you know, framework.
Exactly. So I think just that pre-event period is so much gold in there in terms of the ability to, first of all, start connecting people. So most people go to events with a big bag of business cards and they spray and pray, like hoping that they'll get at least one or two good leads, right? So, and it's all about, you know, leaving things to chance, like I'll bump into someone amazing. Yeah, yes, it happens sometimes, but why do you take such a big chance with an expense that's really high on your list, right? So event expenses are really high when it comes to the marketing expenses. Mm-hmm. You know, so why are you taking such a big chance? So tools and technology today has the ability to connect people in a very, like, easy and, you know, solid way before the event itself. So do your intros before the event, do video calls of this kind. You know, there's all kinds of tools available for that. So that when you meet at the event, it's not like, hey, what do you do? It's more about, I loved what you showed me in a demo before the event. By the way, let's have a meeting. My VP is going to be there. I got my CEO possibly there. Let's sit down and discuss this. Maybe even craft a deal. So going from intros to deals, right? That's the number one thing that can happen if you really mobilize and enable people to connect pre-event. And then we've always been talking about ROI for the sponsors and exhibitors. They're all hoping that their people will bump into their booth somehow, you know, and, you know, maybe during lunch break they'll come or something. Versus you got a month, 2-3 months sometimes before the actual event starts, give them their opportunity to have a landing page, a microsite where they can showcase their demos, where they can showcase pretty much everything that they're going to show at the event. They can showcase all that. They can have video calls and so forth so they can close more deals, right? So taking events from email list gatherers to deal makers, right? So I think that's the pre-event, you know, a goal that people should use, because most event technology platforms do give you those tools now. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of opportunity. That's, you know, definitely untapped and underutilized, as you just mentioned. It's eye-opening to consider how many aspects of technology have so much potential if we only did something with it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah.
And speaking of potential, let's pivot our conversation to discussing the future and how emerging technologies like events GPT Copilot might shape our industry in the coming year. And now I have used, you know, the events GPT Copilot for a couple of months now, I think ever since you shared that with me. And I don't know if that was like a specific link that you share with, you know, people in the industry, but it is right now embedded in my ChatGPT Pro account. So you do have to have a Pro account to use it as it is. I know there's future development that you're going to talk more to, but currently I would love to see, how do you foresee events, GPT and similar technologies shaping the event landscape in 2024?
Yes, so Events GPT, you know, as you mentioned, you know, it's part of the OpenAI, you know, GPT framework. And yes, if somebody, you know, has access to it, it does show up, you know, inside their ChatGPT interface itself, which is really good because it's right there, easy for you to pick on, right? So the way we developed Events GPT was to pull together all the knowledge that we had around events, all the reports that we have created, and tons of blog posts and so forth that, you know, so whatever data we had in our knowledge base, and certainly, you know, we also licensed some data from research companies and so forth to be able to create a knowledge base that you can tap into. So the way the GPTs work is that they are able to first look at the answers in the knowledge base itself and then combine that with the knowledge that comes from, for example, the big LLM, you know, of ChatGPT overall, and give you the most relevant answer back, right? That is the whole point of these things. Now, again, the bigger the knowledge base, the more you can train it, the more usage you get out of it, the more feedback it gets back, right? It becomes better and better, just like any other, you know, GPT out there, right? So I think, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, right, this is 2024 is all about creating custom GPTs for your business, for your event, for your association, you know, so this is about tapping into your knowledge base. On the other side, some people might think, why should I share all my knowledge, you know, with ChatGPT people? Like, you know, they'll just take it all and then I have nothing left. Well, if you are in an industry where this is public knowledge and or you do want to share, think about this as your blog, right? So this is kind of like if you feel that by blogging, you are giving information out, you're helping your community with knowledge and so forth. It's kind of similar to that. Yes, it will become part of the database slash, you know, the training, you know, that will be used by OpenAI for the other stuff. I agree. But that is the value. There is a bit of that trade in there. But I mean, I'm all in. You know, for us, it's more like if there's information that's public already or is in a public format, or we do want to share that with our community in some way or form, we would add it to our custom GPT. Certainly do not add financials and so forth into it. You know, it's basics. Like, don't upload, you know, your information.
Return on it.
Yeah, you know, so it's just like, we just all, let's be smart about it and let's just not put our social security number up there, you know, so
right.
You know, it's basics of that kind. But I think there's information that you think with the community could benefit from. That's what we added to, you know, Events GPT. The goal, again, for that is to give the ability for event marketers to be able to use that to plan, market, and so forth when it comes to their events. The next step for us is to include that as part of our overall event technology platform so that people don't have to pay extra for it, you know, when it comes to OpenAI. And when we launched it, you know, about a month or so ago, there were literally hundreds of people who reached out who could not get access to it, right? Because they did not have the upgraded version of, you know, ChatGPT. And there was some kind of a wait list at that stage, even to get one if they're ready to pay for it, right? So there's, I think OpenAI, with some of the turbulations that happened, you know, in that organization, you know, about a month ago, think I see them as the leader in the space at this stage. There's a lot coming from them, hopefully in the next, you know, few months, including the GPT store and so forth. I think there's a lot going on there, you know, but in the meantime, certainly, you know, do, you know, focus on really getting your knowledge base out there to help your community. If you're an association, you know, you already are giving access to your knowledge base in some way or form to your community, right? To the people in the association, give them a custom GPT, which they can tap into, you know, and they can get help anytime and they can create content and whatever else they want.
I see two facets to this, you know, potential, because obviously we all know, you know, knowledge is power. So there's people that will take that and want to control the amount of power they have based on the knowledge that they share. And then there is the question of who owns all this knowledge, right? If I'm going to share it with everyone out there, there is no way for me to own it anymore because it's right out in the open space of AI and everything else. But then at the same time, there is, you know, the abundance mindset that comes into play. And personally, I abide more to that. You know, if I have something to share that can help someone in one way or another, and I have gained this, you know, knowledge over the course of many years. But then what use is to me if I hold on to it under this like scarcity mindset that, oh, if I share it, you know, I have less of. That's really not the case. Like when I share it, actually it's the abundance mindset is like goes around and it's almost like it creates mini versions of what I know into this other people's minds, right? So to me, that's a multiplication that I'll take over the, let me hold it to myself and I'll die with it, like, you know, over my that body because I never wanted to share that information. But there's two sides to it, right? So depending which tribe you abide to or which side you look from, there might be that scarcity versus abundance, the question of who owns it, do I own it, do they own it, like all of that. It's still very unclear and complicated, right? So there's a lot to be said about this. And I feel like the conversation are still very much to be had because there is no clear answer, nor is there like a way to determine, well, who's right and who's wrong or who, you know, what do we need to be. But the future is going that direction. Like you like it or not, you want to share it or not, eventually you will all be out there regardless what you do.
Very true. No, very true. And I think you made some very, very valid points in there. So again, I will just say again, there's two parts to this whole equation as well. One is the information that you do want to share with your community. You do want to share your expertise. And again, that'll get you more business, hopefully, as well. Right. So that is one way to think about it. But then on the other side, there might be proprietary data that you don't want to share. Right. So, for example, when you're creating a new marketing campaign, so there might be some research that you've done yourself. You don't want to put it out there. So there is the ability to create private, not just custom GPTs, but private custom GPTs, right? So that ability does exist. You know, so we have customers, you know, for example, we work a lot with the UN, the United Nations. We did a GPT for them, which was for one of the biggest conferences recently. And it's a proprietary, private, custom.
They probably don't want to share that information with the world.
No, they don't. You know, and so it's only supposed to be shared, you know, with their delegates, you know, of that particular conference. You know, so then for that, you have to create a secure instance, you know, inside the model itself, which will take advantage, you know, of the big massive custom GPT that OpenAI can provide to you. And then so take advantage of that knowledge, but don't, there'll be no leakage of knowledge from your side into that. You know, so there is ability and ways to do that purpose, right? So it just depends on the use case. You know, so you might have a very closed community slash a closed knowledge base. Only the community should access. Perfect, can be done. But you might also have knowledge like we are talking about the AV and things for us, you know, the whole events knowledge that we have, we want to put it out there into the community and have the community use it, right? So it just depends on the use case, but both those are possible. I think there's use cases that are valid on both sides.
I love it. Well, before we dive deeper into the nitty gritty of innovation and marketing, let's take a quick break to acknowledge our podcast sponsor and we will be right back. Before we move any further, I wanted to give a quick shout out to our main sponsor, Trifan Events, which is a boutique event planning and production agency that will come alongside you, offering personalized event planning and technical support, strategic event design, production and technology management, and flawless execution for live, virtual, and hybrid events. The team at Trifan Events is passionate about planning and producing event experiences that get people involved with true moments of interaction, engagement, and co-creation, while offering white glove treatment throughout the entire planning process, enabling you to reach your event goals with the use of creativity, production tools, and event technology. To find out how Trifan Events can plan and produce your event become memorable, go to trifanevents.com. Welcome back, friends. If you're just joining us, we have Ike Singhal, the visionary CEO of Social 27. So we were discussing events GPT earlier in our conversation before the break. And now coming back to that, with everything that we said in mind, how can event professionals enhance the attendee engagement and the personalization at their events using this tool that you have created?
Yeah, certainly. So at this stage, Anka, our tool, the Events GPT, again, helps you to plan your event, market event, and so forth. But then what we're also adding as part of our overall event platform, along with Events GPT knowledge, is the ability to create more personalized experiences, right? That's what you're touching on. So the personalization of experiences. So pre-event is all about, you know, you've got your content development, you got your marketing going on, you got your connecting the attendees together before they come to the actual event and so forth, all that enabled through AI matchmaking. But then during the event itself, the ability to personalize your experience. So for example, you know, there are events which are anywhere from 3 to 5 days. The UN event I was just at was 15 days, you know, so I mean, you can imagine the kind of content, you know, the overload that's going on out there, even if it's an event for one day with like 2 or 3 different tracks, right? So the ability to understand which sessions you should attend, you know, which people you should talk to and why, which exhibitor sponsor you should talk to and why, right? All those things are the questions on top of mind of people. So when people give us some very basic information about their areas of interest, just think like Spotify, you go and choose your genre of music. You just say, okay, I am interested in AI, but I'm more interested in generative AI. I'm interested in, you know, natural language processing, chatbots, you know, instead of IoT and or medical imaging, whatever. So like you choose your 2 or 3 areas of interest, and then automatically your entire experience around people you meet, the content you are recommended, and the solutions you want to check out becomes personalized. You know, so that helps you really navigate, you know, your event experience in a much better way. So that's just one example of how, you know, this can be used. But then on the other side, it's also the data that comes out of events, right? So in real time, you know, why wait for a post event? Why wait for, okay, now the event is over. Where's my long list of, you know, things? I'm going to send it to marketing now. And then marketing gets it and then sends it to sales after a month. So like the customer or the person who was interested in that might have already talked to 5 of your competitors by that time. Versus in this scenario, what we are talking about is in real time, you know, there is a constant scoring going on of the engagement of every attendee with certain, you know, areas of interest. So for example, if I am a person, you know, who was running the event, I'm really interested in finding the top 10% people of 1,000 people who came, who are the top 100 people who are really interested in, you know, custom GPTs, right? So like based upon their intent and their actions inside the event and them also choosing and opting into certain, you know, attributes, I'm able to bubble that up and in real time interact with them and give them what they need then and there versus a month down the road, right? So we are accelerating that entire customer engagement and that journey because the customer is out in the open. They're telling you what they want. They're showing you what they want. Why are you waiting a month to get back to them on that, right? So I think that is another key component. So yes, build your content with, you know, Events GPT. Yes, you know, connect your people, the attendees together, expo, you know, sponsors and exhibitors, write matches together, you know, with the AI matchmaking. And then most importantly, personalize the experience for your attendees and give them the relevant connections, right? So again, same thing I talk about a few times. Enterprise buying is similar to like in the whole, you know, kissing 100 frogs to find a prince kind of situation, right? So why are you letting your customer kiss 100 frogs? Don't let them do right. that. You already know who the sponsors and exhibitors are. You know what solutions they have. You know what are the needs of this buyer. You have all that knowledge. Connect the right people together so they can find that prince or princess or whoever else they're looking for in a matter of those 4 or 5 meetings versus those 100, you know, things that they have to do.
I love the passion and the analogy that you're using. Now, here's one real-time application that I would love to see someone develop. Let's say this is an event, what we're doing right now. This is obviously a recording of our podcast. But if this was a live event, and if I was the presenter, the MC, the host, whatever, I would like AI to run in the background and collect all the thoughts and the information that is being discussed in real time and then spit out the main takeaways so that let's say at the end of our podcast, when it's time to wrap up, I want to summarize everything in a, you know, very concise bullet point type of way, the conversation that we've just had without me having to like think like hard right now. Like we covered a lot of things, but really at the end of the day, what is the main takeaway, right?
Yes.
So instead of having to go back, go over the transcript, run that to ChatGPT to do exactly that thing, can we do that in real time? And that can be true for sessions. Like imagine having sessions and then AI do that takeaway at the end of the session. So if it was a 20 minute talk and my mind kind of like wandered in and out, because we know that we don't have the attention span of what we used to. It's like more of a goldfish nowadays.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. If I could have someone to just give me the takeaways, the main points, and what I need to remember from this one talk, that to me would be gold.
No, certainly. No, Anka, so there is tools like Otter, the Microsoft Copilot, you know, also for Teams meetings can do some of that stuff, you know, but yes, there is no, like, for example, for most of the event platforms, there isn't like a plugin you can just put in there, which will do that for you. But the APIs are available for summarizing, you know, information or any kind of content in real time, right? So, you know, you might find that in our platform pretty soon because we're planning on using the Microsoft, you know, actually the Copilot API for that particular purpose. You know, so that
I think that would be golden because I mean, I know I use Read AI and I use Otter AI and it summarizes my meetings and it sends me this nice report. And that's great because I built then my next, you know, follow up based on that. But like real time, right now in this conversation, for events particularly, that would be amazing.
No, I agree 100%. You know, and I think I also, you know, sometimes I'm not able to attend the event on the day off, but I know that there's so much amazing content that I missed out on, you know, so it's also on my wish list, which, you know, I mean, my wish list is really big. My developers and my CTO hates me for that. But the question is like this, what I think is if you could go into an event, you know, one of those industry events which ran over a few days and you could just say, hey, you know, GPT, event GPT or whatever, please summarize the content of this event, okay? And I just want to only know about custom GPTs and nothing else.
Right.
Okay, so it should run around, look at the entire library of videos, like 100 videos, and just bring out those, you know, clips, you know, where it was only custom GPT was addressed and talked about, and create one video for you for like 10 minutes, be like, here is everything. If you really like any part of this, click on that, and I'll send you to that part of the session. And you can see more, you know, so like kind of build me a little set of trailers and micro
snippet. Exactly.
Because nobody has the time, you know, and on demand, I mean, events, again, you know, Julius and everybody else, you know, talk about content at events like this, the biggest content machine ever, which nobody is utilizing properly. Right. So the question is, yes, it is. But in on demand, so many more people come to on demand, but they don't really utilize it properly because it's so hard to navigate in many cases. And there's a whole session, 1 hour. You got to scan through the entire thing to find exactly what you're looking for. But AI should be able to help you with that. Just input the exact thing you're looking for. It should create the clips for you and send it to you and or give you the summary of like, here's what they talked about in these 20 different sessions. Here's the summary of that, right? So there is, I think those are some of those things which I think will really help in elevating the event experience and getting more utilization of the amazing content that we all work really hard for.
And I think that goes back to what we just said earlier, you know, personalization is key. And to me, this is the definition of personalization so that I can make sense of all this content. And the more we create content, the more bombarded we're going to get with content to the point where you're like, I just want to take a break from everything because I can't take it anymore because it's not focused, a lot of it, to the things that I might be, you know, interested and passionate about. So lots to say about that. I'm looking forward to having this conversation a year from now and see where we're at.
Well, actually even sooner, Anka, because the way things are moving in the AI world, like in a year from now, who knows, we'll all be sitting on the moon or something.
You know what? I ran that by my 10-year-old son and he said, well, we also said that we would have flying cars by now. That's his perspective on how things are moving. Yeah, and then here we are in 2024 and no flying cars yet, right? So yes, there is a lot of advancement. There's a lot of, you know, things moving really fast, but there's also things that we're still unraveling as we go because there's, you know, not everything moves as fast at that speed. So as we're bringing the conversation back to events GPT and marketing and events in general, now there's a lot of event professionals out there that, you know, they might be fascinated by what we're talking about. They might be curious, but many of them, they're like, the implementation of all of the things that you're talking about seems daunting. Like I am scared. I don't know where to start. So with that in mind, could you share maybe some insights on making this process as seamless as possible? If you're someone that is not as advanced, you know, into event technology and AI and all the things that have been happening so fast for the last year alone.
Right. No, thank you, Anka. I think that is a very good point. So I'll tell you, right? So when ChatGPT just came out in about roughly a year ago, you know, and most people, the early adopters started playing with it, you know, early part of 2023. At that stage, it was all about prompts, right? So there was a whole role that was being talked about, prompt engineer and so forth, you know, which is like, if you don't understand how to prompt it, it's not going to give you the right answers. It's interesting, you know, but it's not going to be as useful. So I think many people over the last, you know, year or so, at least 6 to 9 months, have really understood how to prompt, you know, the GPTs, because that is, you know, it's a language. That's what the language they talk in. Like, how do you, hey, act like blah, 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 and tell me blah, blah, blah. You know, so it's just like, put this in a table, you know, don't just give me freeform text, you know, so it's all those prompts. So now for faster adoption, you know, of custom GPTs and or AI tools of this kind, what a lot of companies have been doing, for example, Jasper, Copy.ai, and so forth, is they've created templates. The templates already have the right prompt inside. So you don't have to figure out what the right prompt should be. All you do is provide the basic information. This is what my company's introduction, you know, statement is. And here is, you know, like what I'm looking for. I'm looking to make a marketing plan for an event which is focused on, you know, scientists, you know, in, you know, biology or zoology or whatever, you know, and this is an event for an association, blah, blah. And here is the ICP. Help me create a plan for this, right? So the basic inputs, which everybody should know, if you're planning an event, you should know, like, what's your plan? What's your objective? Who's the audience? I mean, those are basics. But then you don't have to worry about what the prompt should be. Mm-hmm. That's the job of the AI company. So that's what we have done as well. We've created hundreds of templates at this stage, which are already have the prompts written for you. And with just the basic information that you provide, you know, we're able to start giving you all that content. You know, so the scenario is, step number one, you come in there, you have your event's objectives, your ideal customer profile, you have, you know, the timeline when this thing should go live, it's 6 months out or whatever. You give us that basic information along with maybe a branding guide or any other branding items you might have. And then it's the job of these digital agents to then take that information and start filling out all those templates for you. So the template for the social media campaign, for the press release, for the blog, for the, you know, the work back schedule, fill all that stuff out for you, right? So now when you're going inside, the templates are already filled out. The information is already there. It's already spit out that information for you. Now it's called a human and AI augmentation situation. Now you go and edit that. Versus having to go into each template on Jasper and, okay, this template is for blog. Okay, spit out a blog. This template is for, you know, press release, gives you a press release. This template is for speaker profile, gives speaker profile. Why go to each template? Just give basic information in the beginning. The bees will run around, will do all the work for you, and you start going editing in there, right? So that just saves a ton of time. And then also the analysis of the data that comes back from the marketing campaigns and so forth, right? So there's so much to be done in here. Mm-hmm. So I think you're right. Real adoption of AI tools will happen if we bring it down to a level where people can do it super easily, do not have to worry about how to write a prompt, not to write a prompt, is this going to hallucinate, not going to hallucinate, all those things. And is my data safe? You know, so there's guardrails, there's governance set with AI. All those things have to be part of the app itself. Otherwise, people are not going to use it. They're not going to adopt it. And it's too complicated. You know, so I think, again, people like yourself and me, we are so into it. So we feel like everybody should know. No. I mean, based upon my research, even with Events GPT, about roughly 2,000 plus people right now who are using that right now, you know, based upon the invitation that we sent out and, you know, people who asked for it. And there was at least another 1,000 or more who were like, I would love to use this. I don't know how to use ChatGPT yet properly. Mm-hmm. I don't have, you know, ChatGPT Plus. Like, what is that to start with? Why should I pay for it? So it's just like, and these are people from like big brand companies and or big agencies. So I'm not talking about some person in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Like these people, like, you know, they've been in the industry for a while. They're intelligent people, but it does not mean that everybody's completely up to speed on AI tools. Like most people are not, you know, so they might have dipped their toes into it, but they still don't understand how to utilize it properly. So I think the job on our side is to help them do that and take out all of that friction. But what's the right prompt? What's the right, you know, thing?
Exactly.
To do here?
I think when I started like leading those AI workshops, and I do that in person and virtually, and I've had quite a few workshops led just in 2023, I was going after the hard tools, right? Like, here's what you can do, because I'm thinking a few levels ahead. Then I realized, wait a second, there's actually this entire demographic of people that don't even know how to prompt ChatGPT properly. Yes, there was a job description called prompt engineering that made a lot of money in 2023 if you were ahead of the curve and you were able to use those skills. And honestly, it's not that complicated, but you have to think like almost like an engineer, like what kind of a output am I looking to get and what kind of information I have to give it? It's almost like engineer, but also communicator. Like, you know, when I talk to my husband and I expect him to read my mind, that's not a good communication strategy. Yet we use that a lot, right? It's by now, 15 years later, you should really know how I think.
Exactly.
And then he comes back with the, but do I really?
Exactly. No, I'm with you on that 100%, Anka. No, that's how it is. That's exactly how it is. You know, so I know I'm glad that the AI tools are moving in that direction where they will take information, they will understand who you are. Like, for example, the Delphi example I gave you, if it looks at your socials and understands the tone you use, the level of expertise that you have, so it'll become like a clone of you, a custom GPT of you, based on that knowledge base from your socials and so forth, right? So, I mean, I think, you know, so when somebody's interacting with it, it will kind of talk like you at that same level at that other person, you know, would want to be communicated with.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Ike, for sharing so many practical tips today. So let me ask you one question that I'm curious, because you do create a lot of content and that takes time. Like, I know what content creation is, especially if you want to come across as knowledgeable, polished, and all the things, right? What do you think about AI avatars? Have you been playing with that? To maybe, you know, get some of this load off your back and just assign it to your avatar on LinkedIn.
I know. So I have used HeyGen, you know, which is, I think, one of the best AI.
That's what
avatar.
I use as well.
You know.
But I got some really interesting feedback off of that.
No, I think it's leaps ahead of where things used to be like a few months ago. But I don't think it's 100% there for me yet. It does a good job, but I think it needs to get trained like a lot more. Okay, so the AI avatars that they already have pre-programmed inside HeyGen are really good because they've spent like, I don't know, maybe 1,000 hours on training each of them, right? But the point is like, I only get, you know, like a 20 or 30 minute transcript to read and my avatar becomes good, but not good enough for me to actually put it out there yet.
Right, for it to be seamlessly accepted because it would actually look and sound like me. Because right now it might look like me, but it does not sound like me at all, you know?
No. So Blanca, I'll tell you, there's another reason for it because again, you know, you grew up, you know, in other parts of the world, right? So there is you have a mixture of all different accents, and so do I, because I grew up everywhere as well. You know, so that's why the avatar is like, who the hell are you?
Exactly. It's like, I can't dive into this.
So, there needs to be a different avatars technology which can bring in people
for multi-language.
Multi-language people, because they talk all different accents all the time. You know, so the question is like, I think the multilingual, you know, avatar is still to be made. But if you just spoke one particular accent, I'm sure it'd probably pick it up much better.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's been a great episode so far. Thank you so much for, you know, helping all of our listeners navigate some of the complexities of AI integration, implementation, as well as what the future might hold. So as we near the end of our conversation, I like to shift focus to a topic that's kind of been very close to, you know, my heart over the span of many seasons. And that is, you know, maintaining your mental and physical well-being in a very demanding industry, not only, you know, events, but also tech. So with the demanding nature of this industry, I'm just curious, how do you maintain your mental and physical well-being in a state of high functioning? Because you are a high functioning individual, but I'm curious if you have any, you know, secret strategies that you use for yourself when you output so much. How do you maintain all of that so that it's balanced?
Anka, that's a very, very valid question. And I think, I mean, just coming out of the holiday season into the new year, you know, I think that is it's a reflection point right now. So, I mean, I certainly, like everybody else out there, you know, it's later part of December, early part of January, you're really reflecting on what happened, what could have done gone better. And I think pretty much every year, my resolution is to spend more time with friends and family, like, you know, your loved ones, essentially. So again, I think I'll just go back to being able to tap into what I refer to as your reservoir, you know, your safe place, you know, because we all are, again, like my grandma would say, we all are vessels, you know, and, you know, you cannot run on empty. You know, you cannot keep on pouring out and not get poured in, you know. So the point is, like, I think my reservoir is certainly my family, you know, and my near and dear ones, my loved ones. So that is my reservoir. So I can, you know, I'm very lucky to go in there and dip in and drink as much as I want, you know. And so I think for me, it's family, kids, you know, like my son, like, you know, I mean, it's just things of that kind where, you know, that's my meditation, my place where I can just go and be myself and really just plug out and get inspired, you know, to go and you know, do the thing. But then I think on the other side also is to have the career or the work that you choose for yourself, in most cases, should not feel like work. I mean, it is work, no doubt about it. And, you know, I'm not saying like work should be all fun, but I'm trying to say is like, you should have passion for it. Because if you have passion for what you're doing, you know, in most cases, it's not going to be as stressful or not going to, you know, suck you dry.
It's not going to drain you as fast, yeah, right?
Exactly. You know, so I think having passion for what you do, at least for work, or choose a passion project, if not, you know, so like, for example, sometimes you work on very more business transactional kind of projects, but then we'll choose like a passion project. For example, we work for a cause, climate change being one of the key ones that we focus on right now, right? And, or, you know, we work with a nonprofit. So like, balance it out a little bit so you kind of feel like, oh, it's not just all business. You're also doing something which kind of feeds your soul a little bit. You know, so I think from a work perspective, that's that. But then for me, really, it comes down to family and my loved ones and just spending time with them and making sure I carve out time for them. And again, this year is the number one objective is still the same. I'm very far from achieving what I want
balance.
To achieve there, you know, but, you know, I really hope I can do better in 2024. Yeah.
And I am right there with you. So now, could you let our audience know where they connect with you and learn more about all your AI adventures and innovations to come?
Sure, Anka. I think LinkedIn is the best place for that. You know, I mean, I'm certainly very active on LinkedIn pretty much every day, you know, and so please hit me up on LinkedIn. More than happy to discuss, you know, anything you've talked about in this podcast and other questions that people might have on their minds.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, especially as you're returning to the show and we were delving deep into the evolving world of AI in events and B2B marketing. And I sure hope that everything that you share and your expertise and your vision have shed some light, you know, for our event professionals, friends, on the powerful trends that will define 2024 and beyond. And with that kind of concludes another episode of the Events Demystified podcast. And if today's conversation sparked your curiosity or maybe inspired you, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. Stay tuned as we continue to bring more conversations with brilliant minds, just like Ike, that are shaping the future of the event industry where innovation, technology, and creativity converge. Until we meet again, keep pushing the boundaries, keep creating those memorable events that leave an undeniable mark and continue to strive in the ever-changing, ever-eventful industry that we live in. And with that, this is your host, Anka Platon-Trifan, saying goodbye for now. Catch you on the next episode. Thank you, Ike.
Thank you so much, Anka, for the pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Events Demystified podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to review it, rate it, and share it with other event professionals that could benefit from it. Connect with us on social at Events Demystified Podcast. We would love to hear from you and what you're up to. If you'd like to learn more about Tree Fan Event Services and find out if we're a good fit in supporting your event, can we help your event be successful with a 20-minute free consultation? Link in the episode's notes. Thanks for tuning in.